Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning. Thank you for teaching us the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for grace deposits, truth impartations by your Word. We thank you for helping us apply the Word of God to our life to be doers so we can experience all that you have for us and be used to the fullest capacity. Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at Psalms 23 in just a second. Actually, let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. I'm just going to quote Psalms 23, but go to Galatians chapter 5. And this morning, I want to deal with a important topic when it comes to hearing from God and being led by the Spirit of God. And first of all, it's important for all of us to understand when it comes to this topic that God wants to speak to us. God is speaking to us, and we can hear from God. In Psalms 23, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We know that great psalm. But in two places, he said, "The Lord leads me beside the still waters." Everybody say, "He leads me." It's important. God wants us to understand that he wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. And yes, he wants to guide us in the big areas of life, the big decisions of life, but he can also guide us and wants to guide us in the small areas of life. See, God is concerned about every facet of our life, every area of our life. He's made provision for every area. So if he has made provision for every area, then it makes sense that he wants to guide and lead us in every single area. But the Bible says in Psalms 23, he leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. So we can clearly see that God wants to lead us. Now, when we come over into the New Testament, we can look at the book of Galatians, but here the Apostle Paul is talking about walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. So we're talking about hearing from God, and so we're talking about walking in the Spirit, and then we're talking about being led by the Spirit. See, all these terms and all these things kind of go together. So when I'm hearing from God, then I'm walking in the Spirit, right? When I'm walking in the Spirit, then I'm hearing from God. And then when I'm walking in the Spirit and hearing from God, then I'm led by God. Okay, so God wants to do all these things, and it becomes even more clear to see how much God wants to guide our life when we look at the totality of all of these things that God says. He'll lead us. We can walk in the Spirit, right? He'll guide us. He'll instruct us. He'll teach us all these different things. He wants us to understand that he will guide us in life, and we can expect him to guide us in life. Everybody say, God is guiding me, leading me, and teaching me. Amen. So as we read Galatians chapter 5, I want you to notice the times where he talks about walking in the Spirit and the times where he talks about being led by the Spirit. And let's start in Galatians 5, verse 16. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit." Everybody say, "Walk in the Spirit." "I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." How many of you know the world would be a lot better place if people practiced what I just read? How would it be if people were loving and kind and good and faithful, right? And self-controlled? "Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Notice verse 25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So I want us to kind of examine this passage this morning. I kind of want to break it down to you as what the Lord put on our heart. And we want to see what God is saying and how to apply it to our lives. So let's look at Galatians 5:16. He says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. Now, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, and the Greek word for walk is the Greek word peripateo. So when he says walk in the Spirit, he's given us a directive. But sometimes we think of walk and we just think of walking naturally. But that's not actually what the word is communicating. So the word walk in the Spirit in the Greek is the word peripateo, which means to regulate or conduct your life by. Okay? That's the Greek definition of that word. It means to regulate or conduct your life by. So now, when I read this passage, I'm understanding that God is saying, I am to regulate and conduct my life by and in the Spirit. Okay? How many of you know that enhances things quite a bit? I'm to regulate. So let me just break it down. I'm to regulate my thoughts by the Spirit. I'm to regulate my mouth. I'm to regulate my actions. I'm to conduct my thoughts, words, and actions by the Spirit, okay? So he's talking about our everyday life, I'm supposed to regulate it. So in other words, when he says regulate your life or conduct your life by the Spirit, he means that we are to be led by the Spirit in our daily interactions. We're to function according to the Spirit in the power of the Spirit. Now, the good news is because I've received Christ, the Spirit of God dwells inside of me. So not only do I have Him inside of me, guiding me in terms of the things I need to do, but I also have Him inside of me empowering me to do them. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I need help to do the right thing. Because there's another side of me called my flesh that sometimes don't want to do what the Spirit wants to do. And the flesh can talk loudly. But I have to remember that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And the Spirit in me is bigger than my flesh. I just got to submit my flesh to the Spirit. And I have to understand that I'm empowered by the Spirit of God to walk in the Spirit. Okay? So greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Everybody say, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So then I can regulate and conduct my life in the Spirit based on His power working in me, based on His life working in me. And when He says regulate and conduct your life in the Spirit, I want us to understand something really, really important that is not just for Sunday morning. Hello. How many of you know I found that it's easier to walk in the Spirit on Sunday morning than it is on Monday morning? Hello. But when he says walk in the Spirit, he's not confining it to a day of the week. He's talking about your entire life. And so Monday morning, Tuesday morning. So in other words, what does that look like? Well, on Monday morning, when you find out a coworker just received horrible news and you sense that the Spirit of God is prompting you to listen to them, to encourage them, to pray for them, but you got other things you need to do on your to-do list, but the Spirit of God is dealing with you. This is an opportunity for you to minister my life to someone. Okay? That's walking in the Spirit. It's also on Tuesday. Everybody say Tuesday. When you've been working on a project for a long time that's made the company better, and all of a sudden the supervisor comes in and tells you, put my name on it and not yours. I mean, you know your flesh is going to have some feelings about that, right? How about on Wednesday when your spouse says something that irritates you and you feel like saying something inflammatory back, right? How about on Thursday when you get an unexpected bill in the mail that you don't have the money in your account for? We're talking about walking in the Spirit. How about on Friday when your teenager calls you and tells you they accidentally dented your car pulling out of the driveway? Hello. Everybody say he's talking about real life. If I hadn't got you yet, I'm getting ready to on this one. On Saturday morning, you're on the way to HEB. And somebody cuts you off in front as you're getting ready to turn in and makes you wait at the light when it was your turn to go. And then you're trying to get out for a meeting, and you got 15 items, and you get in the 15-item line, and the person in front of you's got 22 items, and you know that because you counted their items three times. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means I'm led by the Spirit and striving to live according to the Word of God. Listen, in every situation that I find myself in. Okay? See, it's easy to walk in the Spirit when you get a promotion or a raise. It's easy to walk in the Spirit when your family's loving and kind. It's easy to walk in the Spirit when you feel good and you don't have any pain in your body. It's easy to walk in the Spirit when you get acknowledged, celebrated, cherished, and praised. However, what do we do when we're ignored, condemned, ridiculed, blamed, and attacked? Everybody say, walk in the Spirit. When I walk in the Spirit, I'm led by the Spirit. I'm applying the Word of God to my situation, and I'm walking in the power of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16 says, "For I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Notice he's contrasting two things here. He's contrasting walking in the Spirit with not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So in other words, we can say it like this. We got Spirit and we got flesh. And there's a conflict between the two. They're in oppositions. And he says, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But conversely, we can say it like this. If I'm walking in the flesh, I'm not walking in the Spirit. Okay? And so God wants us to walk in the Spirit. And really, there's only two ways we can walk in this world. We're either going to walk in the Spirit or we're going to walk in the flesh. Okay? And how do we walk in the flesh? Sometimes people think just instinctively negative or evil when we talk about flesh. But flesh deals with sexual things. But how many of you know you can say something that's nothing to do with sexuality that's mean to somebody because your flesh wants to respond that way? And that's just as much walking in the flesh as somebody that's engaging in some type of sexual sin. Right? It's still talking about, it's more inclusive than just those types of areas, which we'll see in a minute. But when we yield to our feelings or our emotions, right, then we're walking in the flesh. And here's the thing, when somebody does you wrong, you don't feel like walking in the Spirit. Hello? I mean, if somebody does you wrong or says something about you or treats you a certain kind of way, you know, usually your first response is, "That's so nice of you. I really appreciate that. That helps with my spiritual development and growth. You've given me a great opportunity right now to walk in love," right? That's not how we feel about that situation. But here's what's powerful. When he says walk in the Spirit, that means by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit of God. That means that I'm not confined to responding by my flesh. I can respond. As a child of God, I can respond in the Spirit. I don't have to respond based on what my flesh wants. I don't have to respond based on the modeling that I've seen in my family. I don't have to respond by my past or how I responded in the past to those situations. You have supernatural power residing in you. And God wants to take us to a higher level. He wants to transform us. He wants us to respond like Christ. And we can develop every single day in that way. Amen. Now, he says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, this is interesting, too, because when he said walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, there's a couple of things. Number one, my focus is not walking in the flesh, although I'm not walking in the flesh, but my focus is walking in the Spirit. And so when I focus on walking in the Spirit, then I'm not going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And then notice he said this. He said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He didn't say you won't have any lust of the flesh. All of us have flesh. But there's a difference between thinking a flesh response and fulfilling that desire. He said, if I walk in the Spirit, then I'm not going to fulfill what the flesh wants. I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh when I'm walking in the Spirit. So I can choose to walk in the Spirit. Tell your neighbor, you can choose to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. You've been wanting to say that a long time. Praise the Lord. Now, we can see this internal battle going on as we go through this. He says, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice verse 17. He said, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So in other words, the flesh is striving to get you to head in a direction that's opposite or contrary to what the Spirit of God wants. And then vice versa, the Spirit is trying to take you in a direction that's different from and contrary and opposed to what your flesh wants. And so just to break it down, the Spirit, when somebody does you wrong, the Spirit wants you to forgive. The flesh wants you to hold a grudge. The flesh wants you to get them back. The Spirit wants you to forgive. The Spirit wants you to overlook an insult. See, the Bible says in Proverbs, a wise man, I mean, if you know that means woman too, a wise man or woman overlooks insults. That means you don't have to engage every foolish comment. Hello. Said a wise person. Okay. Now, many truths in the Bible are what I refer to as complementary truths, meaning that there's one side of it that's true and for certain situations, and there's another side of it that's true, okay? I'll give you a quick example, but how many of you know the Bible talks about grace and works, okay? Both of those concepts are biblical, and both of them have to be taught in the right manner, because if you're not careful, people can overemphasize works and they omit grace, and people can emphasize grace and omit works. Okay, so there's many complementary truths in the Bible, and a good example of this is right here, because for me to walk in the Spirit, that means sometimes in my interactions with people, I'm going to have to overlook something that somebody says. Let me just break it down. When my wife is walking in the Spirit, there's some times where she overlooks some dumb things that her husband says. Right? Now, the complementary truth is, to walk in the Spirit, there are also times where things need to be confronted and dealt with, okay? Particularly if things are recurring pattern, okay? So that means, for me, let me say it like this. There are times when somebody may say something to you, and the thing, when you're walking in the Spirit, the thing to do is to overlook the insult. There's other times when somebody says something to you, and that when you're walking in the Spirit, the thing is, you need to confront that. Okay? So wisdom is knowing which one. And also following the leading of the Spirit of God. And people make excuses for all this stuff all the time. You know? Like, for instance, somebody says something, and the Spirit of God says you need to deal with that situation. Okay? You know, there could be any number of different situations, right? But like you have a husband and wife and have kids, and all of a sudden, you know, the kid says something, raises their voice, or says something disrespectful to the mom. Okay, that's not the time for you to overlook insults. That's the time for you to say, hey, don't speak to your mom that way. Because you're training them on how to respond in family situations to people that you should honor, right? And you don't have to be ugly, but you say, whoa. First of all, lower your voice. And then say what you need to say. They need a voice, but they need to know how to say it in the correct way, right? So then you're coaching and teaching and training. But for me to walk in the Spirit, that means I got to deal with that situation, not ignore it. You follow what I'm saying? Everybody understand? So there's times that's why. Thank God we got the Spirit of God inside of us. Because you can just internally say, okay, Lord, what do I need to do with this? How do I need to handle this situation? I mean, one thing to remember, the Holy Ghost knows everything. So he knows how you need to respond. See, just because we're ignorant of how we need to respond doesn't mean God is. And God lives inside. And he told us to walk in the Spirit. So that means he can give me in an instant the response that I need in that moment, okay? So we're talking about the Spirit wants one thing, the flesh wants the other, right? The Spirit wants you to serve one another. The flesh wants to be served. Hello? The Spirit wants you to give and be a blessing, the flesh wants you to consume everything on itself, right? So we get to choose every day if we're going to be led by the flesh or led by the Spirit. We get to choose every day. In many situations that come up in life, am I going to respond based on the Spirit or based on the flesh? Now, notice verse 18. He says, but if, everybody say if. If means you might. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is one of those, you can write this down. And sometimes after service, we ask people what they learn. This might be one of them. Just because you have the Spirit doesn't mean you're led by the Spirit. Notice he says, but if you're led by the Spirit. So just because a person has the Spirit or has been filled with the Spirit or has received Christ doesn't mean that they're allowing the Spirit of God to lead them. Okay? That means they received him. He came on the inside. But I have to submit my mind, my will, and my emotions to what God wants. And when I do those things, then I'm walking in the Spirit. Then I'm fulfilling the desires of the Spirit and not the flesh. So just because a person has the Spirit doesn't mean they're using the Spirit of God in the sense of following his direction and guidance. We went to visit my father one time, you know, and he doesn't have a smartphone. You know, we call them the dumb phones. He has the dumb phone, right? So it doesn't have internet connection or whatever. So when we got in the car, we were going somewhere with him. And so I just punched an address into the iPhone. And so it gives me directions. He said, what are you doing? I said, I got the directions. He's like, okay. So we, you know, it's a turn here, turn in. We got there perfectly, right? Well, then when we get ready to come back, I popped into directions back to his place. And so he says, you don't need a thing. Turn that thing off. So he said, I know where to go. Right? So I was okay, you know, okay. I wanted to leave it on the side, but I turned it off. But so the thing is, we go back and he gets us back. But now I thought to myself, you know, that's a good illustration. Sometimes we turn the Spirit off because we think we know what we're doing. Right? He's there all along to guide us and lead us, but we want to do it ourselves, or we think we know the right direction. But here's the problem, you know, sometimes for my wife and I, we've been, you know, driving for a long time and, you know, getting around the Metroplex. But even sometimes when we're going today, we'll go on the phone and we'll say, okay, because there's different routes you can go. And many times you look and you see this one is red for a long way. And this one is clear. We're going this way today, right? See, even though we know the way to go, sometimes we needed to know the best way to go. That's why we need to consult the Spirit of God, because just because the way you did something in the past worked out doesn't mean that's the way God wants you to do it today. Right? And so we got the guide on the inside, so we need to make sure that we consult the guide on the inside, because he wants to lead us and guide us, and being led by the Spirit is a daily decision of applying his word to the situations that we face and following what the Spirit of God is leading us to do. Now, what happens when we walk in the flesh? He gives us a couple of different things. But he says, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, flesh against spirit, spirit against the flesh. And he says in verse 19, for the works of the flesh are evident, which of these, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. And notice this is not an exhaustive list, because he says, and the like. Right? So there's other things involved in that, of which I tell you beforehand, I told you in times past, those who practice things, those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he says, in other words, this is what, when he says the works, so when you think of working, you work and you produce something, or you accomplish something. So he says, if we respond based on the flesh, these are the things that the flesh is going to produce in our life. Okay? Now, these can easily be broken up into a couple different categories. So first of all, you got sexual sins, which is adultery, fornication, first four, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. Then you've got idolatry and witchcraft, which the next two is idolatry and sorcery. And sometimes we don't necessarily think in our culture and our world like this, but Paul was writing to a culture that was absolutely steeped in idolatry. I mean, they had temple. We did the Greece tour not too long ago, Biblical Steps of Paul. One of the places we visited was called the Oracle at Delphi. So people went from all over to Delphi to engage demonic spirits to try to get a word. They have temples everywhere, okay, to foreign gods, okay? So he says, don't engage in those things. And then he says sorcery and different things like that. So, yes, we have some occult things and things like that. But then sometimes we don't necessarily have a pagan temple, but then the other people have some other temples in their lives as well that they worship. Something like that, right? Status, prestige, position, power, money, wealth, all those things can be idols too. So he's talking about those things. And then he says, then he kind of deals with sins of temper or emotions. And that's a lot of them. Hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. Sins of temper or emotions. And then sins of drunkenness. Notice he mentions drunkenness and revelries. Revelries are kind of like drunken parties when you look that up. So he deals with those things. Those are the things that the flesh will produce. Now, I don't want none of them. How about you? All right. But that's what the flesh produces. But what will the Spirit produce in us? Notice what the Bible says in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We only three words in, and I like this list a whole lot better. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Sometimes we look at some of these words and we think long-suffering and things like that, but sometimes, you know, we want people to be long-suffering with us when we need to grow and when we need to move in another direction. We want people to be patient with us, but we can also be patient with people, right? Whatever you want somebody to do to you, do also to them. And it says, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such as there is no law. Now, when we walk in the Spirit and are led by the Spirit, then what he's saying is when we walk in the Spirit, we're striving to live in the Spirit, then these are the things that's going to be produced in me and through me. So in other words, I'm going to become a more loving individual. I'm going to become an individual that has joy. I'm going to become an individual that has peace, that's kind, that's gentle, that's faithful, right? That's focused on serving others instead of being served. Those are the things that they produce. Now, I love it that the Bible says, the fruit of the Spirit. Notice he uses the term works to describe the flesh, but he uses the term fruit to describe the Spirit. I'm so thankful he did, because one thing I know about fruit is fruit takes time to grow. I mean, I wish I could pray and have some fruit manifested in some people's lives quick. Have you ever wanted to do that? Well, I wish I could just pray and have you walking in love all the time and having some patience in you and having some self-control in you. And God is saying, yeah, turn that hand right back around and pray those same things for you. But fruit grows. And see, when we're in an environment where the Spirit of God is moving, when we're studying the Word of God, we're in position for that fruit to continue to grow. It gets nourished. It gets strengthened. It gets developed. Okay? And the fruit, but here's another thing that's powerful. He said the fruit, so fruit grows. But when you have an apple tree, the apple tree produces apples because of the type of tree it is. In other words, the apple is in the tree, but in the right environment, the apples come out. Okay? So you've received eternal life has been imparted to your spirit. The life of God has been imparted to your spirit. So by nature, you are a fruit producer. Because God is love and God is in you. So therefore, fruit of the life of God inside of you is love flowing out of you. See, we just need to get in a position where we learn to let more of God outside of us to change us, transform us. See, God is peace. the peace of God. So as I allow His peace to flow through me, then I walk more in the peace of God, which means I walk more in the Spirit of God. Okay? So all these things are characteristics of God. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. God is long-suffering. God is good. God is kind. All those things are characteristics of God. How much does it bless the heart of God when He sees us developing these fruit in our life and looking more and more like Him every day? How much does it bless His heart? Right? We can't even know how much it blesses His heart to see us becoming like Christ, which is what He created us to do. Right? It blesses the heart of God. See, it reminded me of an old song. Maria, remember this? And I've got something on the inside. Working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. What's he saying? He said, I've got something. I've got Him. I've got love inside of me, working on the inside, causing change on the outside. I've got Him, peace, working on the inside, manifesting on the outside. Okay? That's what he's saying when he says fruit of the Spirit. When I received Christ, power came inside of me, power to grow, power to deal with the flesh, power to overcome sin. We can overcome. We can grow. We can walk in the Spirit. Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.